I'd just like to say a couple words about Pat Ells. When I first met Pat, for some reason I thought her name was Barbara. So for the longest time, every time I would talk to her and we'd come in, I'd call her Barbara. Well, she never said anything to me that her name was not Barbara. And so she started calling, my name's Martha, so she started calling me Marfy. So I'd say, you know, when I'd say, hi, Barbara, she'd say, well, hi, Marfy. And I thought, oh, her name is not Barbara, her name is Pat. But I just loved her to death. I know when we went on the ladies' fellowship, or ladies' retreat, her back was hurting her pretty bad, but she was determined to go. And she was a real inspiration to those of us that didn't have back problems, but we complained about everything else. But Pat was, she was just a really sweet lady, and we're really going to miss her.
Lord, here I am again, down on my knees in prayer. And Lord, you promised me that you would always meet me there. Now there's a mountain up ahead that I can't seem to climb, so I'm asking for the strength, oh Lord, to try it one more time. Lord, don't move that mountain, just give me strength to climb. I might grow weaker every time. And just as your son Jesus, he took the cross of Calvary. Oh Lord, don't move that mountain, so I might better do your will. Now if there were I might forget to pray, and if there were no trials, Lord, I might even stray away. But I know the higher the mountain, the sweeter the victory. So Lord, ever remind me that you will walk beside of me. Lord, don't move that mountain, just give me strength to climb. For if you should move each mountain, I might grow weaker every time. But just as your son Jesus, he took the cross to Calvary. Oh Lord, don't move that mountain, so I might better do your will. Oh Lord, don't move that mountain, so I might better do your will.
In the time that we were able to enjoy Sister Pat's company and fellowship here at Victory Baptist Church, I don't ever recall hearing her say to the Lord, please remove my mountains. But I did hear her several times ask for the Lord to give her the strength to be able to go through the trials that were in her life. And so I think that song was very fitting. And I appreciate the words from Sister Martha as well. And I wonder if there are other folks in our congregation, you have a special or a fond memory about Sister Pat, and you'd like for the family to be aware of that, you'd like to share it with them. If so, I'd like to just take a minute or so and give you an opportunity to do that. But I'm going to ask you to step out and come so that we can get it on the recording, okay, so that it'll be there for the family. So if you're willing to do that, I'd love for someone to come and share here to this with this precious family. Miss Ann, would you be willing to do that? All right. And she's making her way here to the front. Anyone else, if you'd care to join her? All right. Come on up here, Miss Ann.
Help me up.
I'll help you up.
I'm on.
Thank you for being willing. Let me watch that carpet now. Let me pull this down.
I'm nervous. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Well, first of all, I know Miss Pat's in heaven. I know she's having a wonderful time because she, but to get to my story. She was the cheerful giver the Lord talks about. She came, she was always given to me personally, or she come to my Sunday school class. She said, you need anything? Let me buy you this. Let me buy you that. And her daughter, Glenda's just like her. She talked about Glenda. And I know in my heart that words can't explain her.
She's a dear friend to you.
She's just a, when Mary Lou went around, she said, do you have a ride? Do you have a ride? And, you know, I said, yes, I think Mary Lou, well, make sure. I don't want you to go. And sometimes she would bring me when she didn't feel good, you know. And she just did it for me, you know. And she always thought of others before herself. And I know, and when she told me she had 6 children, I thought, my word. And you got a smile on your face like this, you know. She was just wonderful. That's all I can say. And I know she's in heaven rejoicing, and she's looking down on this and just rejoicing that you're all here with her.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Thank you, Mr.
Love y'all.
Thank you.
And I'll watch it. Thank you. It's hard for me to see here.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Anyone else? Here comes a dear lady that found a great friendship in Miss Pat, and they shared some things together about her personal lives and became prayer warriors and partners together. This is Miss Rose.
I just wanted to tell you that there were times that Pat and I shared the same type of illness as far as battling a battle and trusting in the Lord, and that she was so uplifting to me, but yet she would tell me how uplifting I was to her, and I couldn't understand that. And she was such a blessing. When I would visit with her, she would say, you know, when you're trusting in the Lord, you don't have to worry about anything. And I would think, she's so right, and it was like it was so uplifting to me, but yet I had came there to be uplifting to her. And she had such a love for her family. We talked about family and how blessed we were, and she said, I was shocked when she told me how many kids she had, because I thought she still got her sanity. And she loved her family and talked about what a blessing they were, and how blessed she was, and how ready she was to go home to be with the Lord. And I thought, now that's a testimony.
Amen. Amen.
She was very loved.
Thank you, Miss Sissy. Anyone else? All right, our scriptures for the message this morning are found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. If you'll turn there, please, in your Bibles. Matthew, chapter number 15. Matthew 15. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. And we are going to read a story found here in this chapter, in particular the verses 21 through 28. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Let's look together. I'll read aloud and you follow along there in your Bible when I don't hear any more pages rustling. We want you to get there and see what the Word of God says this morning, so take your time and find your place there in Matthew chapter 15. All right, beginning verse 21, the Bible says, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd add your blessings to the reading of your precious word this morning. And Lord, impart some truths to us this morning from this text that will help us to be better as a result of being in your house this morning. Lord, may our ideals and our attitudes change as a result of the message from God's word this morning. Lord, may our direction change if need be. Lord, may you minister to some soul that stands in need of salvation, some soul that stands in need of some sort of strength in their life, whether it be physical or mental or emotional or even spiritual. God, we pray that you would provide the answer from your word this morning to these dear folks. Help us all, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We see here in the Bible a story of a woman who, we are told, possesses great faith. The testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ concerning this woman is that she is great in her faith, there in verse number 28. And I think that could be said about Miss Pat Ells. I think she was a lot like this woman, for she too was a woman of great faith. I said that to the family that was gathered there on Wednesday at the funeral home for her service there. And I mean with all my heart that I believe in the time that I had opportunity to know and learn of Sister Pat, I believe that she was a woman of great faith. And I'm thankful for the testimonies of others moments ago that shared that truth with us, that indeed her faith was great. And I'd like you to see this morning what caused Jesus to say to her, your faith is great, or great is thy faith. And I want to make a comparison to Miss Pat, if I can, and her earthly life as it lines up with this woman in the text. There are three things in particular that I want to point out that I see here. No doubt there are probably more things that could be found there, but I want to focus on these three things this morning. And the first thing that immediately comes to my attention, and I hope to yours, is that she ran to Jesus with a problem. She ran to the Lord Jesus Christ with what was on her heart. For all practical purposes, what was on her heart was a great need in her life. We find that in verse number 23, where the Bible says, And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, the Lord, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She said, Have mercy on me, O Lord, was her cry. You say, wait a minute, she's not the one who had the problem. She's not the one who had the need. She's not the one who was vexed with the devil. For she indicates that it was her daughter that was experiencing that problem. And yet the mother says to the Lord, Have mercy on me. She ran, I believe, to the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal to him what her problem was. You say, preacher, you're not making any sense at all. It was the daughter there who had a need. It was the daughter there who was sick. It was the daughter there who was vexed. Why are you keep saying that the mother ran to Jesus with her problem? Have you ever noticed that mothers have a special ability about them? Whenever one of their family or whether one of their children is hurting, that the mother somehow senses that, becomes aware of it, and feels the pain of that family member? Let me give you an illustration of that. Remember when you were small and you'd be out playing and you'd get out on the sidewalk and you'd get to running just a little bit too fast and you'd fall and skin your knee? And you'd pick yourself up or you'd cry out loud if you couldn't get up, and your mother would hear your voice or hear your cry or see you come in the house with tears running down your face and maybe a boo-boo on your knee. And mama, the first thing that she would do is say, "Are you okay? Where do you hurt?" And you would point to your knee and she'd say, "Let me kiss it and make it feel better." How many of you had mama do that to you at some point in your childhood? Sure. Do you ever have daddy do that? Daddies aren't like that. God made mamas and daddies different. I remember playing ball in my young life as a child, and I had my father for a baseball coach. And he put me behind home plate. He said that the best place for me was to be the catcher. And I thought, well, that's an important position. I'm glad that he put me there until the games began and the heat got on in the summertime, and I had all that gear on me, and I thought, boy, I wish he'd get somebody else to be the catcher. But every game he had me scheduled to be the catcher. And I remember one game where the opposing team loaded up the bases, and the man on third, after the batter hit the ball, came charging into home, and I was up and ready to catch the ball that was being thrown in. And as I caught the ball, I remember a huge collision, and I fell backwards. And I really think that I may have passed out or blacked out momentarily, for I didn't remember anything for a few moments afterward or a few seconds. And the next thing I know, when I come to, is my father standing over me. And of course, my mask has been flung off. And I feel this sensation running down my face on both sides. And I put my hand up and wipe across it, and I see the blood, and that makes me even more sick. And I think, man, I'm hurt. And my dad, he's standing over me looking down at me, and he says, "Oh, you're all right, your nose is bloody." He said, "Just get up and walk it off." And about that time, I caught a glimpse of my mother behind the backstop fence there of home plate. And she heard what my father said to me about getting up and walking it off. And she said, "Leroy Dale," that was his name. And she never used the Dale unless she really wanted to get his attention. She said, "You're not going to make him get up and walk it off. You need to pick him up and carry him over to the bench. We need to get that nosebleed to stop." He said, "Oh, he'll be all right in a few minutes." And I think begrudgingly, he reached down and picked me up and carried me over and kind of set me down on the bench and returned to the game. He had responsibilities of coaching, you know. And so I sat there with handkerchiefs and held my head back for a few moments. And I remember after about 5 minutes, the blood had stopped. And the inning finished up. We came to bat, and they got us out 1-2-3, I think. And it was time for us to go back out in the field. And my dad looked at me, and he said, "Stop bleeding." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Get your gear on. You're going back in." And I went back out and finished the game. Moms and dads are different in the way that they care for and respond to their children's needs. Mothers seem to sense and have that special ability to hurt when their children or their family members are hurting. And that's what I think this woman experienced here in the text. She said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Although she wasn't the one possessed, she could feel the pain of her child, and she carried it with her before the Lord. The child hurt, so she hurt. You know, it doesn't matter how old a person gets, how old a child becomes. I think mothers always sympathize with you when you got a problem. I can recall times, even in my adult life, when things haven't went the way that I wanted them to go, when maybe I can remember jobs that I held for a while and then lost and couldn't find something else, and always it would be my mother responding and calling and saying, "Is there anything you need? Is there any way that we can help?" "Well, no, it's got to be difficult for you. What can we do to help?" Mothers just seem to have that ability to feel our pain. And I can recall that on occasion, Sister Pat would share with me about some family member. Some of you are here this morning, and she would ask us to pray for you. She would ask us to pray for her family. And you could see in her eyes, you could hear in her voice, you could tell by the way that she presented herself that she was experiencing the pain also. Now, this woman in the text had what I believe Miss Pat had as well. She had faith, and her hope was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably she had heard of him and about his miracles. Probably she had received word or heard testimony about some blind person that he had healed, some deaf person that he had helped, some dead person that he had raised from the grave. Maybe he heard about the maniac of Gadara who had many legions, and he had cut himself, and he would run among the tombstones in the graveyard. He was an outcast of the city. Nobody wanted anything to do with him, but Jesus passed by and found him, and he healed him, and the man was in his right mind from that moment on. Maybe this dear mother heard of that account, and she said, if he could help those people, he can help my daughter. And so with faith, she approaches the Lord Jesus Christ. She knew that society couldn't help her. She knew that there was no one else that would do. She couldn't help herself. She didn't have the means to get her daughter the help that she wanted her to have. She was desperate, and she saw the Lord Jesus Christ as her only hope. Now, I want to say this about Sister Pat. Never one time did Sister Pat come to me and say, "Preacher, I've been to the psychologist. Preacher, I've been to the intellectual people. Preacher, I've approached the Dr. Phils and the Oprahs of this world and tried to get help." No, Pat wasn't that type of woman. Pat was like the woman in this story. Whenever she had a need, whenever there was a problem in her family, she went to the Lord Jesus Christ, as you heard testimony given here this morning. She approached the Lord Jesus Christ with her problem. There was the need of salvation in Pat's personal life. And she realized that she could not get to heaven on her own account. She realized that she could not do anything that would earn her salvation in heaven on her own, that there was nothing that would merit her being invited into heaven outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So at one point in her life, she ran to Jesus with her sin problem and said, "Lord Jesus, forgive me. I have sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven, and I deserve to go to hell, but I want to experience your grace and what you did on the cross for me." And she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save her. She based her faith on what the Lord done and not what someone else or she could do herself. She ran to Jesus with her problem. And I think as a result, the Lord said of Sister Pat, "O woman, great is thy faith." There was the need for strength from time to time in Sister Pat's life. Physical strength, whenever her health was not as good as she would like for it to be. She would take it before the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, help me." There were times when emotionally she was battling with things. There were times when other family members were going through things. And always she would come and she would say, "Preacher, here's a need that I have. Will you pray with me about it?" And I enjoyed doing that. And she rejoiced whenever God answered those prayers. She knew that she could have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, that if she asked anything according to His will, He would hear her and help her. So we see here in the text a woman who runs to Jesus with her problem. We see also in Sister Pat a woman who ran to Jesus with her problem. Secondly, I want you to see this. Not only did she run to Jesus with her problem, but she remained persistent in her prayer. She remained persistent in her prayer. The Scripture tells us that she continued to ask the Lord for the help. That she didn't just ask once and then get a no response or a negative response, but she continued to ask in spite of all the obstacles that she encountered along the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't give up. She continued to stay with her persisting that the Lord Jesus Christ help her. She stayed after Jesus until she got what she wanted. She wouldn't give up, and there were many obstacles and much resistance in her way. There was the race issue that she had to contend with. She was a woman from a different city, and by right she had no merit to come before the Lord Jesus Christ. Her religion from her city was not in line with the Lord's thinking and the Lord's teaching, and so she had to contend with that. There was rejection. We see here in the scriptures that the disciples said unto the Lord, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." These men who were called upon to help the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry had no sympathy for this dear lady. They said, "We have other things to deal with, and we can't wait upon you. Lord, send her away." She's drawing attention to herself and drawing us away from the work that is at hand. She had the reality of the situation. She had a daughter at home who had a great need. And she probably felt like she had no right to come to Jesus Christ. She probably felt like this was her last resort. But her situation was so desperate, and she wanted it to change so drastically that she said, "The only person that I know to go to is the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep going to Him until He gives me what I'm seeking." Now, this one thing probably defined Sister Pat Ells more than anything else. She was a praying woman. She went before the Lord. She believed in talking to God. She knew that she was just a sinner saved by grace and had no right to stand before Him, but she pleaded the blood of Jesus Christ as she approached Him for her needs to be met. She understood that if she was going to get any help, she was going to have to stay with it and not give up, keep knocking on heaven's door, keep asking, keep seeking, and eventually God would hear her cry and respond. But listen to what the Bible says in this woman's account. In verse 23, as she approached the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "But He answered her not a word." He answered her not a word. That's interesting to me. This woman cried out before the Lord and asked Jesus to do something, but there was no answer from Him. He did not respond. Hey, listen, have you ever prayed for something and not received an answer? Have you ever asked God to do something and it seems like He's not hearing what you're saying? It seems like your prayers are not getting through. It seems like that He has turned a deaf ear to your situation, and it continues on day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. It is ever before you, and you ask God maybe one or two times and He doesn't respond, and so you just say, well, it must not be of interest to God, and so you just give up. Friend, that's not the thing to do. Learn a lesson from this woman of great faith this morning. Hey, I don't care if you're in good health. I don't care if your family is all that it should be and all that you desire to be. At any moment, those things could change. And friend, whenever you have a need, approach God and do not give up. Remain persistent in prayer. Pat had several things in her life that she dealt with. But never one time did she say, "Preacher, you can quit praying about that. God's not interested in it." Always she would say, "Preacher, things haven't changed yet, but keep praying. Preacher, keep going before the Lord. Preacher, help me to have the faith to see that God is still interested." And we try to encourage her along those lines. We should not give up just because we don't get an answer. We should be like this woman and keep knocking on heaven's door. Notice that because of her persistence and patience, Jesus didn't slam the door on her face or in her face. He didn't say, "Woman, the answer is no and that's it. I don't want to hear no more from you." He answered her not a word. His message to her was, "I must fill the children of Israel first," there in verse number 24. And I think when He said that to that woman, that's just what she needed to hear. You say, "What do you mean?" The Lord said to her, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, I must care for them first. And when she heard the word "first," immediately a light bulb came on and she said, "That means that there's seconds available. That means that there's still hope for me. That means that my need is still important to God. It's just in a matter of priority to Him, and eventually He will get to it." She remained persistent in her praying. This woman of faith reveals to us the secret of getting what you asked for. Look what she does in verse 25. Interesting here. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. The secret to getting what we asked for is that she came and worshiped him. Yes, she approached him with a need and revealed it to him very plainly. And the Lord said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is what I've came to do, and I must tend to these folks first. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. In all of Pat's difficulties throughout life, never one time did she forsake the Lord and worship him. As long as she was able to carry herself to the house of God, as long as it was possible for her to get here, she found herself in God's house worshiping the Lord. She enjoyed doing that. There were times when she would lift her hand in praise to the Lord for what he had done and how he was speaking to her in that particular service. Maybe a song that the Rochesters, one of her favorite groups, sang would minister to her, and she'd just hold her hand up and wave it to Jesus like she was in perfect fellowship with him, worshiping the Lord. The secret to getting what we're asking or seeking from the Lord, friend, is being willing to worship him. Being willing to recognize his greatness and give him the praise and the glory that he is due. In verse 27, we see that she accepted what was God's will for her life. She accepted what the Lord revealed to her. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She was willing to accept what God's word was about the matter. And in essence, what she said is, the crumbs are more than enough for me. If that's all that is available to me, then the crumbs are more than enough. Now let me say this to this precious family that is here this morning about your mother. I do not believe that she was a woman who had to have the best of everything. I do not believe that she thought more about herself than her family or others. We heard testimony of a sweet lady who said often she would ask, is there anything you need? Anything I can do for you, even though she may have a need presently in her life. She accepted what she had and she thanked God for it. She didn't have to have the best of everything. She was like this woman in the scriptures. She said, Lord, if the crumbs are all that is available, the crumbs are more than enough. She was happy with what she had been given from the Lord. And as a result, she was able to see God do what she needed done. She persisted in spite of everything that was thrown in her path to try and stop her. Let me ask you something. How much does your problem mean to you? How difficult is your situation? Have you ever encountered some setback along the way and considered giving up and asking God for help? The Bible says keep asking, friend. The Bible says keep seeking. Keep knocking, and in His time, He will give you what you need. And that brings me to my third point, the message this morning. Not only did she run to Jesus with her problem and remain persistent in her prayer, but she received a promise. She received a promise. Look at verse number 28 with us, if you will. The Bible says, Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. She went before the Lord. She persisted in getting her point across to him. And Jesus, as a result, said, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Jesus was amazed at the depth of this woman's faith. It had been tested, it had been tried, and her faith rose to the challenge. She expressed the kind of faith that excited the Lord Jesus Christ. She got the Lord's attention by the faith that she displayed as she entered into His presence. That makes me think, does my faith get God's attention? The way that I live my Christian life and depend upon the Lord and approach Him about my problems and persist in asking Him for His help, does my faith get God's attention? Does your faith get God's attention? Does He take note of the faith that you possess? And could He say of you, your faith is great? He didn't say that about many people in the Bible, by the way. But He sure said it about this woman. And I think that he said it about Sister Pat Ells as well. You see, just 2 days before Pat went home to be with the Lord, she was in the hospital and I visited with her there. I got a call from Lee, her son, and he said, Preacher, I just want to let you know that Mom's in bad shape and the doctors have said there's not much more they can do, and just pray for us. And of course, I went to the hospital and I found Pat there and I walked in and the first thing she said was, Oh, Preacher, it's good to see you. Preacher, I'm just ready to go home, she said. I said, I know you are, Pat. You've been through a lot here lately. She said, I'm ready to go home because I can't wait to walk back into the church and shout hallelujah. And she was lying there in the bed and her breaths were short. She was gasping for air, having difficulty breathing. She was not hooked up to any machinery. She was totally comprehending everything that was going on. And yet she was able to, lying flat on her back, raise her hand up and say, I can't wait to walk back into my church and shout hallelujah. What was she saying? I can't wait to worship God and give Him the praise for what He's doing. But then she said to me, but preacher, if I'm not able to do that, I sure am ready to meet Jesus. I went there to encourage her, but I was the one that got encouraged. I wanted to shout hallelujah. I think when I left that hospital, I just kind of floated down the hallway because of what I heard Sister Pat share with me. She said, I'm ready to meet Jesus. And I think what she meant when she said, I'm ready to go home, she was actually referring to heaven. She was actually talking about being in the presence of the Lord, the one who had gave His life for her. She was ready to meet Him. Just like this woman in the Bible, Jesus responded to Sister Pat's faith. I think He got excited when He heard her say what she said. He rewarded her by saying to her, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I have to share with the family here that when we shared with the church on Sunday about Sister Pat and her needs Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, we asked for her to be put high on the prayer list and we asked for God to meet her need and we said, God, please don't let her suffer. Don't let her go through great pain. And I believe God answered our prayer that very day. For you see, it was Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, just a few minutes before our evening service, when we received the call that Mom had went home to be with the Lord. God answered the prayers of His people and did not allow her to suffer any longer than need be. Why? Because she was ready to meet Jesus. Jesus was willing to say unto her, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. She received the promise. As sick as Pat was the last few months, she could have just quit asking God to meet her need. She could have just accepted what was going on in her life, but she didn't. She continued to pursue God and the help that He could give. And I believe God told her in that hospital room, it's going to be all right, Pat. I'm going to take care of you. I'm here to help you, to walk with you. I'm here to minister you. She had such a peace about her, even in the midst of dying. Death is such a fearful word to a lot of folks, but it wasn't to Sister Pat. She was ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. She longed for the day when she could see Him face to face and walk down the street of gold. Now please notice the last part of verse 28 with us, if you will. We're going to try to bring the message to a close. It says there that her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Her daughter was made whole. The one who had the need that her mama felt so much pain for. The Bible says here that her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Because of her faith and her willingness to have her problem before Jesus. She didn't try to hide it from Him. She said, Lord, You're the only one that can give me the help. Her daughter was made whole. Now I'm going to try to say this with as much sensitivity as I possibly can. I believe because of Pat's faith in God and her willingness to bear her soul before God and tell Him about her family problems, some things have been made whole. Some things are just like this daughter situation. They have been turned around and made whole. There's a dad in the family. Pat married to Millard for 45 years. Millard did not have faith in God for much of his life. Was not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to save his soul and take him to heaven. Although he had been witnessed to by this preacher and some deacons in our church. He had several stays in the hospital, and we'd go to visit with him and find out how he's doing and see if there's anything we could do. And we would take the opportunity to share the gospel with him. And he would say, I'm not interested in that. Don't have any use for it. I'm not ready to do that. Miss Pat would ask us to keep Millard on the prayer list. And her specific request was, I want the Lord to save him. It's certainly no secret to the family and to this preacher that there were some, as a result of the marriage, there were some problems. Pat being a Christian, Millard not being. But they eventually were able to work all that out and sort through it, stay together. Pat kept praying for her husband. Last Sunday night, after we received the news about Pat going home to be with the Lord, we went to the home where the family was gathered. And we walked in and Millard was sitting there on the couch, tears in his eyes, weeping over his loss. And I knelt down beside him there. And I began to ask him if there was anything I could do. And he said, Preacher, I think you can. He said, I'm ready to get saved. I said, I'm here to help you with that. I said, I don't remember if you remember all that we talked about in the hospital when you were there a while back. But let me explain it to you again. And I took him through the scriptures about how Jesus died for our sins and how that there's a penalty to pay and Jesus was willing to pay for it. And if we just put our faith and trust in him and what he did on the cross, we could have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Millard said, that's what I want. And so we bowed our heads. I said, Millard, let me hold your hand and pray for you. And I began to pray. And then I said, Millard, if you'd like to be saved, say this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. I've messed up in this life. And I waited and I didn't hear anything. I said, God, I'm sorry for my sin. And I believe your son Jesus came to die on the cross for me. And I waited and I didn't hear anything. Later on, we got out to the car. My wife was with me, and she told me, she said, Lee was so, he had come around the corner from the hallway there, and he was watching what was going on, and Lee was so concerned that his daddy was hearing what we were saying that he said to my wife, tell preacher he's got to speak up. Dad can't hardly hear. And my wife came over, and she leaned down into my ear that was away from Miller, and she said, Lee says you have to talk louder. So I tried to the best I could, and I prayed another sentence of the prayer, and I waited, and I didn't hear anything. I got down to the end. I said, in Jesus' name, and I said, Millard, if you prayed just now and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you, would you just squeeze my hand? And I felt his little bony hand wrap around mine. I said, Millard, did you mean that? He said, yes, preacher, I did. I prayed and rejoiced and said amen, and we looked up and there were a couple other family members that had made their way around the hallway. And I said, tell them what just happened, sir. And he said, I just got saved. You remember that? We rejoiced and shouted. At that moment, the prayers of Pat Ells were answered. Her husband at that moment had been made whole. Just like this woman in the scriptures and her daughter, that very hour, her daughter was made whole. As her pastor, I can tell you that your mother was a woman of great faith. Just like the woman in the Bible, both of them had family members who stood in need from time to time. Spiritual help was what they sought. Your mother's greatest desire, dear folks, was to pass on to you what she had found: faith in God, salvation in Jesus Christ. At her funeral, at her homegoing, this past Wednesday, 6 people prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and life. What I'm trying to tell you is your mama's life was not lived in vain. What I'm trying to tell you is I think the Lord Jesus Christ looked at her when she passed through the gates of heaven and said, "O woman, great is thy faith." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we sure are going to miss Sister Pat here at Victory Baptist Church. And I know this family is going to miss the moments that they've been able to enjoy with her in her 69 years of life upon the earth. And yet, Lord, we take comfort in the truth and knowing that now she's no longer suffering from the effects of cancer. Now she no longer has to spend time in nursing homes and hospitals. Now she no longer has to be apart from the services of the Lord. But now she's in the presence of Jesus and she can bow at his feet continually and give him the praise and worship that she so desired for him to have. Her family is left to carry on in the days ahead. We pray that you'll give them the strength and the grace to do so. It doesn't say much about the woman's daughter that approached the Lord Jesus Christ on her behalf and what her life was after that, except that she was made whole. But if I could read between the lines, I think that as a result of her mother's faith, she too became a person of faith. She began to follow and seek the Lord and worship him just as her mother did. May the message minister to these dear children and help them to carry on Pat's legacy, Pat's name, and be the people of faith that she was. I pray that you help her dear husband there in the hospital. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that he'll be able to have opportunity to grow in his new life in Christ and to experience the closeness that his wife Pat experienced from you. And Lord, if there's someone here today that stands in need of salvation, may you help them to see that it's a simple matter to get taken care of. The scripture says we must call upon the name of the Lord and believe in our heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead. After he died on the cross and was buried, he came forth, making possible salvation to all who come to him, just as Pat did and others in her family. Lord, I pray that you'll help them to say something like, "Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin and save my soul. I'm trusting in you to get me to heaven." If there's someone here who has a problem, God, I pray that today they realize there's a place to bring it to, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. May they be persistent in getting the help that is available to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet as we begin a hymn of invitation. God spoke to your heart about something. If you want to run to Jesus with your problem, if you want to pour out your heart before him here at the altar this morning, I want you to come as we begin to have the invitation played. Brother Merrill's going to lead us here in a verse or two of it. If you'd like to be saved this morning, is that your desire like Millard's desire was this past Sunday and some of those family members at the funeral? Would you step out and come and let us help you find Jesus in your heart and life today as we sing? Altars are open. If you're looking for a good church home, you have something on your heart that you want to share and pray about with someone, we'll come meet you. We'll try to help you. If you'd like to follow the Lord in believer's baptism because of your faith in Jesus Christ, show unashamedly that you're a follower of him, would you step out and come? Maybe you're a parent here this morning. You can learn a lesson from God's Word, a lesson from Pat Ells. Feel the pain of your family members, your children. Take those things before the Lord. Don't give up.
just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to whose blood and cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen.
I come.
Would you bow your heads with us for just a moment while folks are here praying? Let's be respectful and give the Lord an opportunity to work in their hearts and lives. And maybe someone who's standing there in between pews, standing there waiting for the service to end, but yet you know in your heart that the message was for you today. God has something specifically for you. Let me just ask you a couple things. Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? That your sins have been forgiven, that when death eventually comes to you as it did to Pat, you can be confident in knowing that the next breath you take after your last one here will be in the presence of Jesus. Do you know that for sure? If you're saved, you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you should have that confidence in knowing that you're going to heaven. But if you haven't done that, does it concern you enough to raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Remember me in your prayers." Would you lift your hand up and indicate that that's your need this morning? "I don't know that I'm saved. Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to embarrass anyone, point anybody out, call you by name. I'm not going to send anybody back to where you're standing. I just want to pray for you and try to help you." Is there anyone you say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved"? While no one's looking around, slip it up, put your hand down, up and down. Anyone? If there's someone here and you say, "Preacher, I have a problem, a specific problem. Oh, it's in regards to one of my family members, maybe one of my children, but it affects me. I feel the pain. And I need the Lord's help. Preacher, pray with me about my problem." Would you raise your hand unto the Lord? God bless you, folks. Our Heavenly Father, our desire is for you to help each and every individual that raised a hand, just like you helped the lady in Scriptures, just like you helped Sister Pat. Hear their prayers and meet the need of whoever the individual is. In Jesus' name we pray. We'll sing one more verse. If no one comes, we'll close the invitation. But we want God to have an opportunity to help you. If you're willing to step out, He's willing to meet you. God bless you. Be seated for just a moment. Let me recognize a couple decisions that are being made here this morning. Jerry Duke has come this morning. Jerry over here. Jerry been visiting our church for quite some time. A few weeks ago, he come forward indicating that he was putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and asked the Lord to save him at that time. And he said, by way of testimony, that he would later be baptized. So this morning he has come to do that. Jerry, you do believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. You did ask him to forgive you and save your soul. You're trusting in him to get you to heaven. And you want to live for him from this moment on. All right. All those that rejoice with Jerry's decision to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, would you let him know by saying amen? And Brother Kendricks, if you'll show Jerry where he needs to go to get ready for that, he can begin to do so, and we'll join him shortly in the baptistry to get that matter taken care of. Also coming this morning is Sharon. Is it Spontak? Spontak, okay. Sharon, Donna is your sister, all right. You too have been visiting our church for quite some time and indicated that you were praying about becoming a member of our church. And this morning she says, I've decided that's God's will for my life. I would like to be accepted here in the family at Victory Baptist Church as a member. You're coming by a statement of faith, which means that you do believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. You have been baptized underneath the waters, and you believe that God wants you to be here, get the spiritual help that you need, and be a blessing to His work here at Victory Baptist Church. Is that right? Will we accept Sharon into our family, folks? If so, indicate by saying amen. Any that oppose her coming to be a part of our family, say, oh me. Not even your brother-in-law responded to that. How about that, Terry, I'm talking about? Amen. Welcome to Victory Baptist Church. We look forward to being a blessing to you and helping you any way that we can. Let us know what needs are, and we'll do what we can to minister to you, all right? And I want you folks that are already members to come by and welcome Sharon into our family. Let her know that you're glad that she's a part of us now here at Victory Baptist Church, okay? To the dear family, we trust that God and His Spirit ministered to you. We do have the service recorded in CD format. We want you to have a copy of that free of charge as a keepsake. And also here at the front, there is a beautiful quilt that has been stitched upon, and I think it says in loving memory of Pat Ells, Patricia Ells, with the proper dates there. We want that to go. The ladies of our church took this on as a ministry a while back. Instead of sending flowers, we thought this might be a better idea. You can keep it a lot longer. And we want it to go to the family. In particular, we want it to go to Lee and Kaylin, because you folks are members of our church as well. Keep it for the family. Share it with them, all right? Maybe sometime y'all can get together and just wrap up in it and feel your mother's love and feel God's love. And may you be comforted in that, okay? Also, the flowers throughout the building, at the live flowers at the back of the auditorium, out in the vestibule, over in the office area, those are in memory of Pat. They were given to us by the family after Wednesday service. And over there by the office, there's a beautiful peace plant that stands about 6, maybe 7 feet tall. It's right underneath the picture of Jerusalem. And I did not know it was a peace plan. I did not know that was the name of it when I said it there. But I thought, how fitting. We're supposed to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem on a daily basis. And so that's where that plant will be. We're going to do our best to take care of it so that it stays with us here for a long, long time. So go by and check it out, all right? Give us just a moment to slip back there and get ready for baptism. And Brother Merrill, if you can come help us here in a moment, then I sure would appreciate it.